Welcome back to the MetaMakers podcast, where we explore and discuss collaborative arts and inspiring sustainability. This is Davis and Dylan. We're here with our guest, Mary Gellin at the Eaton. How are you feeling today, Mary?
Feeling amazing today. Thank you. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling pretty good. I'm really happy we're here with you in DC. We got this podcast up and working. So Mary, tell us a bit about yourself.
A bit about me. So I am Mary from Maryland. and to, I guess, put a kind of mediumly long, 24, almost 25 years long story short, I am walking a sonic yoga path. And
Can you define what sonic yoga is for our guests?
For me, because I think it's absolutely. There is a yoga of sound, but that's a technical thing. I'm learning. My biggest teachers in life that I've found are sound and yoga. Yoga as far as like classical things that I've learned that are practice for the body, practice for the mind, the breath, tuning into to one spirit and the universe, those kinds of practices, spiritual practices.
What got you into this kind of desire? I mean, I'm a musician. I played an instrument when I was growing up, but sonic yoga, you know, there's not too many people that are doing stuff like that.
So what got me into sound as such a deep interest, I was always around sound my whole life. I was trained in piano for many, 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 many years. And then I also danced, like, instead of doing a sport, I did ballet, tap, jazz, modern, and some other dance forms, ballroom and stuff, like 5 days a week, multiple hours a day, growing up all the way through high school and into college. And then, so I was always around music.
It's a big commitment.
Huge commitment. It was like...
And dancing's almost always done with music, right?
Pretty much.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Pretty much, yeah. So I was literally always around music, like, all the time. And so I learned from an early age the element of release into music, because when you're incorporating movement with sound, you really have to let go. And I wasn't getting so much of that from playing music with piano. I was being trained very structurally, very technically, but like I was learning about the flow of music through dance. And that was the first time, even before I got into yoga or anything or meditation, it was the first time that I was ever able to tap into a place of letting go of my mind. Like I remember I would go to dance class after like high school or middle school or something, and some of those years were like particularly tough, but I would come to dance class and then I would forget everything, like everything else, for a couple hours. So that's, and it was the music movement aspect that was really doing it for me then.
Like that fusion, mm-hmm. fusion of music and movement.
Mm-hmm.
So what about that fusion really gets you excited?
Um, About the fusion of
like
music.
Like sonic yoga, this like sound and movement together. So, you know, I guess it's not a
right.
new practice. It's just not one that's usually, you know, I mean, for, I don't know about you, every yoga class I've gone to, which is like four in my
right.
life, there have been just pretty much a playlist playing.
Yeah.
And, but you
so
incorporate
I'm,
like, so, you know, you have crystal bowls, you have these instruments, you have a gong now.
Right.
So you're like playing these instruments. It's not just like a Spotify playlist or something.
Mm-hmm.
You're actually using these intentional frequencies and,
mm-hmm.
and different instruments to like create that effect. So I guess what Dylan is saying is, you know, how do you see that fusion really being able to influence people and like
right.
use that exponentially, I guess.
I'm not exactly where I will, where I want to be with what I'm offering, because
mm-hmm.
I think I still have some learning to do and like coagulation. One of the stages in the alchemical process from what is the typical alchemical thing? From lead to gold? Is that what
mm-hmm.
they're trying to do? Turn,
yeah. yep.
turn lead into gold?
Yep.
One of the critical stages is coagulation. So I feel like I'm still coagulating all of what I'm learning and stuff.
It's a really
but,
like honest answer, by the
yeah.
way.
Yeah,
I'll say
that's like why I haven't been really teaching a whole lot, because I don't have
like
I'm
tools.
Not like completely where I want to be.
Well, that's amazing.
I had to step away from teaching for a little while.
To learn.
Yeah.
To keep studying.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like always the process. I mean, Jerry Garcia said he was still learning guitar before he died.
Like
yeah.
while he was playing it. Yeah.
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 And then also that kind of reminded me of Prince Caspian, the Chronicles of Narnia, when the lion Aslan asked him if he was ready to like rule the nation and stuff. He was like, I don't think I'm ready, basically.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, I've got a lot of learning to do. I've got a lot of growing to do. And Aslan looked at him and said, that is exactly why I know you're ready.
Right.
Wow. And it's the same with us in our events, you know. We always feel like we're still learning how to throw events.
Right.
When we've thrown many, many events and been a part of many, many events.
And it's key to keep doing it. So that's why,
mm-hmm.
I do find it refreshing to continue teaching and doing the offering my stuff. But ideally, So dancing isn't quite my path, I feel, in this lifetime. However, after I kind of stepped away from the dance world, the music world kind of fell to the side too, until, I guess, 2 years ago. 2 years ago, yeah. Try not to cry on the podcast.
Wow. It's okay. Emotion
like
is definitely,
yeah, I was gonna say,
definitely accepted here. Yeah.
Totally. Like, this is genuine conversation. Whatever comes out, let it flow.
So I was like going through a really, really hard time like 2 years ago, and I knew that I had to go get my shit together, basically. So I moved to a yoga ashram for a long time and got pretty deep into my spiritual practice there. And the number one thing that helped me was the practice of singing.
Mm-hmm.
Group singing. So there they call it kirtan. It's group chanting. And we would do it for like total upwards of an hour every single day, and it was awesome. And I was like, holy shit, this is being here meditating and like doing yoga every day and stuff, being in nature, very helpful, sweet, awesome. But the singing was really what was helping me out the most.
Absolutely.
And
euphoria.
yeah. And then I was starting to tap into like how quickly you can access collective consciousness when you're singing with a group and you all get on the same wavelength.
Mm.
Like you don't hear yourself anymore. It's incredible. There's nothing like it.
Yeah, I experienced it many, many times in New Zealand, like every single day, to begin the day and end the day at these festivals. They would have a collective kirtan. And,
oh, nice, really?
Yeah, it was really powerful. And, you know, when you have that same vibration as others, it is almost as if your sound is the one sound.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I actually grew up singing in a choir, a men and boys choir. And I actually used to be ashamed or kind of embarrassed because I sang the high notes as a little kid before my voice broke. And I always thought that I sounded like a girl. So I never told anyone that I was like a trained musician, basically. But I remember like the feeling, yeah, that definitely the collective vibration, I guess, when everyone's singing together,
mm-hmm.
You know, because everything is vibration. When you break down the atoms and the molecules, stuff is mostly empty space, and that stuff is vibrating. And our instrument, our voice, is the tool that we have to mm-hmm. create vibration. You know,
yeah,
it's like when we think stuff, we speak. That's our first go-to, and
right.
when we all do that collectively, it is really, really profound. And there's studies on that too.
Truly, yeah. And we're really uniquely gifted and positioned as human beings, apart from all other, animals on the earth, with the fact that we can manipulate our voice, like our sound makers, so precisely. Like no other being on earth can do this with their voice and do all these cool things.
Wait, what about dolphins? Don't they have like a...
Dolphins can.
We're starting to like understand their language through cymatic study of their sonic, the geometry, basically just like
learning
sonar,
the patterns.
Like reading sonar. But I don't know if they have a developed language as humans. I'm not really sure.
It's definitely developed.
Really smart though.
It's definitely highly developed.
Wow. They know where the fish are, I'll tell you that.
They know intuitively how to like tune into human frequencies. Mm. They can do a lot of healing because intuitively they know what frequencies to make to tap into all of the parts on the human body. Mm-hmm. They're very healing. That's why people go swim with dolphins and stuff.
Wow.
Like,
yeah, I guess they're probably really in tune because they have to be to understand those frequent, like those sonar frequencies.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? I mean, it's not like consonants or vowels. It's like different screeches
mm-hmm.
at like different like vibration rates. It's mm-hmm. crazy.
And it's probably something having to do with them being in the water all the time. Like they just very sensitive.
They always follow boats too. You know, if you're out in a boat, they'll mm-hmm. usually trail the boat and follow mm-hmm. it. Probably because of the sound.
So, Mary, do you have a favorite instrument?
I'm a fan of the duduk.
What is that?
The duduk is this type of woodwind instrument.
Is it the one that Mr. Tumnus plays?
It might be.
In that one movie, or the Chronicles of Narnia, and it's like split in half at the bottom. It's like a flute, and there's two... And
no.
It's two notes playing at the same time. It's one is just a drone, so it like stays at that.
Oh my gosh, like
note.
The binaural
can, yeah.
flute?
I don't know if it's binaural,
oh, okay.
but yeah. Is that what you're talking about?
No,
okay.
different, but my friend
so
Gina
has
one of those.
The duduk.
Can you spell it for us?
D-U-D-U-K.
I Google real quick.
And I first heard that instrument when I was at a Yoga of the Voice retreat in California, and this dude
what?
Was
Yoga of the Voice.
Yoga of the Voice.
Oh, that looks cool. That's like a bassoon kind of. Wait, can I see that?
It has a kind of like deeper quality to it for sure. The sound of it's a little bit deeper.
Duduk.
And it's an Armenian instrument, I'm pretty sure.
Wow.
Armenian.
So yeah, if you want to look it up, all the listeners, D-U-D-U-K.
Yeah.
This thing looks really cool. We're going to have to listen to it afterwards.
Definitely. we can shout out my friend Cachador, because he was at the Yoga of Voice retreat that I was at. He was a guest artist, and he came and played duduk and sang for us. And he sang in his own made-up language that he just kind of, you know, pulls from his... ancestry, like it sounds sort of like all the places where he's from, and it's just, you know, light language. He sings in this light language. Oh my God. gosh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
I touched the cords.
Yeah, it makes a little bit of a reverb, but that's okay.
Yeah, he sings in his own light language, and it was just extremely beautiful. But yes, the yoga of voice is a training that I do with one of my mentors. Her name is Sylvia Nakash, and actually it's a group of mentors. Also a woman named Alba Lirio, and there's a couple other ones, and they're really fabulous older women who have developed this system, and it's based on like ancient teachings from India about called Nada Yoga, which is the ancient study of sound in
Nada
India.
Brahma.
Yeah, Nada Brahma. It's like the Nada is the original sound. Mm-hmm. And it's all based on this concept of deep listening. And when you go deeply into sound, you can basically, it's like a deep meditation. You can lose sense of your ego and your body and just merge with sound, merge with creator or God or whatever you want to call that. But and the sound that's coming forth from you is a sound that's coming forth from the universe, from the creator. Like, you are the universe sounding to itself.
Yeah, wow, that actually reminds me, I remember a friend of mine telling me how he was in Germany, out in the middle of some meadow in the middle of nowhere, and it was getting dark, and I think the sun had set and he saw stars and stuff, but it was so quiet, he told me, so quiet that you couldn't hear, or excuse me, that you could hear your like heartbeat and your pulse. And he said that it got so ridiculously quiet that what happened was it started to get really loud. And so it was so quiet that this humming started happening. And he was telling me about this cosmic hum.
Yes.
And like you can go in different places of the earth where it's so quiet that you hear this humming, and then so what you're saying is it's actually coming from within.
Yeah.
And it's not an external thing.
Yeah.
It's that sound. And if you think about like a fractal or something, we're, like you said, I mean, we're a product of the earth and the universe and the sound.
Yeah.
So like that sound is really truly coming within, but it's loud because we're tapping into that internal.
Yeah.
That's what you're getting at, right?
Yeah.
So how do you think that compares with the sound of nature as well? So like when I was in New Zealand, I was walking through the woods and the sound of the cicadas was so loud that it was piercing through, and no one was talking, but just, it almost sounded like white noise, that it was at such a high frequency.
Mm-hmm.
We looked at each other as if we were hearing something, or that if it was in our own mind that we didn't know. It was, everyone was hearing it.
Oh,
we kind of thought it was
That's
only
wild.
To us that we were hearing, to one of us that we were hearing it, until someone brought it up to them. Like, think they hear it because it was constant. It was such a constant sound.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like reverberating up or down. So
yeah, just drone.
Yeah, what do you think nature has to do with the sounds that are that you're hearing? And maybe your surroundings. Might not be a clear question. Like, do you think that nature impacts our own personal sound that we're hearing?
Our own like personal interior secret sounds. That it does it impact nature, or vice versa? Perhaps.
Actually, that just reminded me of a music class that I took in like freshman year. And they were talking about the Mongolian throat singing, and then some of their instruments that they were making, they actually were basing them off the animals of the area. Mm-hmm. So like the two-stringed like little, I forget what it's called, an oud or some type of like fiddle. It's like a horse, but they basically made that sound came from the horse's neigh, and then they had this like other type of flute that came that they were kind of imagining the bird noises and streams and stuff. So I think, yeah. And then it also makes me think of all the people in the cities. Just, you hear the beeping and the cars and the train and that hum of the ballast of the light next to your window. Yeah. You know, like people forget about those noises, but if you really spend some time, just 10 minutes meditating, you can actually hear all those noises.
Yeah.
The more that you tune into it, I feel like the louder it gets.
Totally. And I think there's something really magical about a drone sound. Mm. I don't know if that answers your question necessarily, but how you said that the cicada was droning, I don't know why I feel something so magical about drone sounds, but I'm just putting that out there. There's
unique,
something about that.
It's like a foundation.
Like something, it's some type of building block of the universe is just like withheld
That's the paradox.
Note. Just like...
It's a constant in an ever-changing world.
Yeah.
So Mary, like what sound do you love and then could you make it for us?
I like to laugh. I just made one of my favorite sounds. I love
really
laughter.
Good, yeah.
One of my favorite sounds. Okay, I was actually just messaging my friend today about some of my favorite sounds. So,
perfect.
Yeah.
Can you make them for us?
Well, that was what I was messaging about, is because I want to learn more about how to make them. He's like a Hebrew cantor. And I'm really, really into those sounds that come out of the Hebrew areas.
Cantor is someone in the synagogue, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And in my life, I have soberly tripped out the hardest listening to Hebrew songs. For whatever reason, I can go into complete trance and totally leave this dimension, and I have, off of those Hebrew songs.
Do you have any Jewish lineage?
I don't think so. Maybe cosmically, but not in my direct bloodlines. But like, I have noticed that Jewish people really help me out a lot in this lifetime.
Wow.
Just saying, just observationally.
So is there a word? Like, I think it'd be great to listen to this sound on the podcast from you.
From me?
Yeah.
I don't really make those, unless, see, now here's the thing. I've learned also that I can make pretty much any sound once I get into the trance of it all. Once I get into the flow, I'm like, it just comes through me. It's not me anymore. It comes through me once I get tuned in. But I'd love to play, if you would let me play, my friend Shmoly singing. It's a quick sound. It's 30 seconds on the Instagram, and it's what I messaged him about. And I was like, I need to learn more. It's him singing. It's just a quick.
Do you have it on you?
Yeah, it's on my phone. Can I play it?
If you want to.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, gosh.
You're good. And then I want to ask you also, while you're grabbing that, you've done yoga classes, you've done sound baths at our events before, but like, what is your favorite kind of session? I know that you like to get into the longer ones because you can go deeper into it.
Yeah.
Like, what's your favorite kind of session? To do
to take a, or to teach?
Well, I guess to teach at an event, you know, like before a party or something. I guess at our events, really. That's what I'm curious.
I don't have a lot of teaching experience yet, so I'm not even sure if I know what my favorite is.
Yeah.
And I'm still exploring with my teaching and everything, too. I'd say I love when...
Or what are your favorite parts about it?
My favorite parts are the psychic development kind of activities, the pranayama, the breathing techniques. I love teaching those. The more and more I'm learning about ways to teach things with the voice, I like to teach those. And then with asana, I love to teach people who already know a little bit about yoga.
Nice.
It's lovely to teach beginners.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. It's a blessing to teach beginners. But I like to have people who can take a little bit more.
You'd like to get into a little bit
deeper.
I totally understand.
Have some building blocks.
Yeah.
And things that you can add on to. And probably because you discover things from them through teaching as well.
Okay, so yes, I'm gonna play you this
definitely
sound.
Pull it up. Is it the Daduk? Or no, it's him.
That was Cachador. This guy's name is Shmoly, and he's a burner from New York City.
Maybe you can play it into the mic.
Speaking of burners and events, this next weekend, depending on when this podcast will be released, May 3rd to the 5th, we will be participating in Catharsis on the Mall. Shout out to Catharsis. They've been working extremely hard since last November. It's been 6 months since the last Catharsis.
Yeah.
This year it's going to be in May, which is hopefully going to be a lot better for the weather.
Yeah, it's this weekend. It's my birthday weekend.
It's Mary's birthday
weekend.
Got
two sessions too.
I hope everybody comes out.
Yes.
Wow. Speaking of birthdays, I mean, that's crazy. Like,
yeah.
Are you excited? Do birthdays mean a lot to you? Or?
I think that I definitely recognize the transition quality of birthdays and the potential for setting intentions for this new cycle that you're about to enter into. I definitely recognize the energetic qualities of birthdays. And I also just like to, you know, like flex on everybody about my birthday for a little while.
And what's your sign? If you want to share your sign, does that...
My sign, it's a Taurus. It's Taurus season, baby. Okay, do you want to hear Shmoly?
Totally, yeah. If you put it right in front of the pop filter and just angle
like
it straight at the mic.
Like this.
Yeah, just like that.
The mic comes out the bottom of this?
Yep, directly into the...
Okay.
Yeah. Just press play. Yeah, I can hear it. For a second.
Yeah, we were all just put in a trance right there.
Yeah.
As I'm sure you will be.
So this song,
you want to learn some Hebrew
that
chanting?
That really transports me. I just,
cool.
Yeah.
I can imagine you singing that.
The range on that sound is absolutely incredible.
And the one time, right, the one time that, that I sang with Shmoly, it was after a potluck dinner that we had shared together with the community that I have in New York, and we were cleaning dishes, and he just starts belting out these songs all of a sudden. And so then I turn around, and I'm like, okay, I'm singing them now too. And I don't even know what the hell I'm singing. And then everybody else in the room gets caught up and starts singing it too. And then we're all harmonizing. And then we're literally speaking tongues, because I have no concept of Hebrew whatsoever. But then we're speaking tongues, and then we're all harmonizing, and I thought it would never end. Like, I thought that I had just entered a new reality where it was just going to be singing in harmony for the rest of ever. And I thought that, like, the reality, like the actual physical, like the 3D matter would collapse as soon as we stopped singing.
Wow,
like I had that
really
sensation
intense.
That we were with withholding it, and but then we stopped singing and it was fine. Like we were just still cleaning the dishes. Like an hour and a half later, we just gotten caught up in song.
It's like divine but connection.
There's something about Hebrew, the geometry of the words and the letters are perfect. And, well, perfect in, I guess, a relative sense, what's perfect. But, Davis, I know you're really into sonic geometry.
Yes.
Hebrew has that sonic geometry root structure. Like, it's built on sonic geometry.
Wow. Yeah, and I'm pretty sure their writing system also has a numerical values, and the Star of David is, like, the 369,
mm-hmm.
Something like that. I don't mm-hmm. really remember. Because they also had the vowels and the different words to sing for different purposes, like, you know, some Buddhist language, some Buddhist practices have, like, Ham, Ram, Lam, Sham, I don't really know all of them, but they basically have different resonances, and so they affect your body different ways. So, like, when you're singing on your own, whether that, you know, I think the words actually go with different notes, too. So, like, I think your solar plexus is C.
For what? For the Buddhist ones?
What's the word for it? Ham?
Well, in
Ram is the solar plexus. Yeah. Well, anyway, I know that, you know, the different cultures have these different words and stuff, but it's observation of this, like, one architecture of the universe. Mm-hmm. We're all just perceiving at different points on the earth where the energy levels are different. Mm-hmm. I mean, strictly science, scientifically speaking,
mm-hmm.
You know, the electromagnetic frequencies, the field of the earth has different, you know, overlap points on the earth, highs and lows and stuff like that. So, but ultimately that sonic geometry, it's really cool to look at the similarities of all the different cultures and how it relates to sound.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty wild.
I was wondering, I have a question for you.
Switching it up on us.
The interviewee.
guest. We know it's not an interview. We're just
true.
You know?
So you are from Australia, or like your family is, right?
My dad is Australian and I have a citizenship. I'm a dual citizen, yes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. But do you know about the Aborigines songlines and what that is?
I can play the didgeridoo, but no, I'm not familiar.
Because I know that's really big for them, song lines. Huh. I know, like, in their dream time, which is all the time, song lines are, like, what connects everything.
Huh.
Song. So,
the stanzas? I'm not really...
Mm-mm. It's just something that they call, like, the term for it is called a song line, and I just don't know what it is, so that's why I was asking if you knew.
That's cool. So, Mary, what are you up to next? Like, what's your next, like, biggest excitement?
Well, besides Catharsis, which is this weekend, that's my immediately next biggest excitement.
When and where can people find you at Catharsis?
I'm going to be at the Metadome.
Makers Camp.
My bad.
It's okay.
I like Metadome. That's a good name. Makers Camp. I'm going to be at Makers Camp a lot of the time. Not the whole time, because I want to check out everything if I have the time to. Mm-hmm. But I'm teaching, I'm doing a sound bath.
Hopefully,
a little bit like interactive sound.
Cool.
I really like that your goals are to be completely interactive and with all of your events, and I think that's great instead of just teaching or.
Yeah, last event you had everybody chanting. We have some videos of that. That was awesome. And then you guys had like a huge group hug afterwards. I was like, wow.
Communal breathing. Awesome. Like,
So some type of interactivity with the sound bath. And then that's on Friday at... No.
Friday, yeah, noon.
Is it on Friday at
noon?
You're
opening it up.
Okay, Friday at noon.
You're christening the dome with the sound bath.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And hopefully you can do like some sage beforehand. Not too much though.
Yeah, not trying to smoke it out.
The entryway is open. It's a 40-foot dome. We wouldn't want that. Huge. You'd need a lot of stage. Ooh, actually, shout out to Quest Skinner, who raised enough money through her GoFundMe for her art installment. She's building like this mother, and she's filling the belly with like sage and lavender.
Oh.
And it's going to be burned, and it's going to sage the whole city.
Of the land. Oh, my gosh.
Not the whole city, but a lot of sage is going to be burned. Like a lot.
Oh my gosh, yes.
You've been fairly warned if you're allergic to sage or you don't like a lot of incense. It's not going to be at our camp. It's somewhere else.
Effigy burn? Or is,
I'm not sure.
Is like at the main burn?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah, we'll see.
I'm really excited about that.
But then, and then you're
so
teaching
cool.
yoga on
then I'm teaching yoga
Saturday.
11 a.m. on Saturday.
It's amazing. Yeah. Do you have any other than that, I mean, I guess because you were talking about knowledge earlier, right?
Yeah.
And like, I know you spend a lot of time for yourself and learning and harnessing your skills. I think that's really important.
Yeah.
So like, what are you studying next? Like, what are you going to dive into after this podcast?
Well,
what are you going to go home and read, I guess, you know?
What books do you recommend most of you?
That would be a good like next question. I kind of want to know what subjects you're interested in learning next, like studying deeper.
So there's a couple of things. I am doing a self-study right now of Logic Pro on the computer.
Hey.
That is one of my self-studies.
Hey.
And I'm sinking a lot of hours into that, and it feels really cool.
Nice.
I like
That's
it a
awesome.
Lot. And then, the Aborigines have been a lot on my mind lately. I come across things really randomly. I get like messages from spirit and stuff about what to research and what to learn about and where to go, and like that's basically how I'm guided around the world. It's just like, go here, learn this thing, do
the
this
intuition
thing. Yeah, intuitive, yes,
yeah. Because so
most of the time
right now.
Most of the time I'm just stepping off like the edge of a cliff and I don't have a safety net. Like I don't know exactly what I'm doing, but it always works out because
I
trust.
At least you're stepping.
Yeah.
That can be really frightening for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Would you be willing to share a story of a time where you took that step and fell on your face and what you learned and how you got up from that?
Yeah, sure. So when I lived in New York, for a while, I was living in Long Island, and I decided to leave Long Island and move to the city, and I wanted to move to Manhattan, and I found this apartment, you asked me to tell a story about when I fell on my face, so the apartment was sketchy as fuck. The situation was whack, and I fell on my face, and it was quite a frightening time. It was very sketchy. It was
literally,
it was not okay, huh?
Literally or figuratively?
No, figuratively. Like it was not an okay time, but it was okay. It ended up being okay because I just keep my integrity about me. I don't freak out, and like everything smoothed out. I was like safe. I got out of the situation and then, you know, found a different situation. But it was because like I knew I had to do that. Okay, so maybe that's a bad example. I literally, I fell on my face there. It wasn't cute.
So like, if you had could you give a piece of advice maybe to your past self or someone that might be listening that, you know, wants to take that step but also might not have a safety net and might be scared to take that step? Like, what would you say?
I'd say, I would say to try to know somebody where you're going. It's really helpful if you know one person in the area where you're going. It's super helpful. If you don't know anybody in the place where you're going, don't get your shit off Craigslist.
That's a good one.
That is really good advice.
Don't be hitting up Craigslist too much for your stuff. I've learned that lesson many times.
Yeah.
Don't do too much shit on Craigslist.
Wow.
But yeah,
before
I don't know. That's like really
personal connection. Someone you've met in person.
I think it's helpful. Yeah, I think it is helpful to know like at least one person there that you can just know a little bit about the space. However, like, so one of the things that I'm looking into doing next is by like sometime in the fall, by January next year, I want to be in Australia because there's this really old prophecy that not too many people know about, but I found it somehow online, just like doing deep dive stuff. And it's a prophecy of the Aboriginal people wrote about it. I guess they wrote about it. I don't know if they wrote. Some of those people didn't write. It's like oral tradition that has been written down over the years. But wait, so the prophecy is that, well, they didn't finish this ritual. Like there's this like ceremony way back that didn't get completed, and that they plan to complete it in 2020. And 2020 is gonna like, they knew it was going to be this energetic upgrade, basically. And what the idea is that they're going to complete the ceremony. I'm twitching right now. My face is twitching talking about this. It's cool.
That is cool.
They're going to complete the ceremony in 2020. The Anangu tribe in Uluru, and it's by this really big monolithic stone, and they're going to construct an energetic umbilical cord from the earth to the sun.
Uluru Rock, that's air. It's also called Ayers Rock in Australia.
Yes, yeah. Then people aren't allowed to really climb on that anymore either.
Yeah, too many tourists.
Too many tourists, right.
It's this huge rock in the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
It's like this big red nut.
And it's
massive sandstone. And what I read about it, like, this is some stuff, take it or leave it, what I'm saying right now, but they say that it's going to be ushering in the end of death. We don't need to experience death anymore. Like, we don't need to. And all of the kind of hateful, vengeful, malicious, shadowy kind of energies. It's going to usher in the beginning of that. And like, I don't know, the Aboriginal people are like super connected and have been advanced, and like one of the oldest surviving kinds of ancient civilizations or collective consciousnesses. So I just really feel like I want to be there
for that.
That's intense.
At that time.
It sounds like an anime scene, like final scene. It's like this light beam coming up from the earth.
Right.
Well, it might be a song line.
Seriously, I mean, that's intense.
Yeah.
I'll have to do more research.
Well, yeah, you brought up song lines earlier, and I just wanted to give the definition.
Oh, yeah, what is it?
Because it actually applies to Australia. Within the animalist belief system of indigenous Australians, a song line, also called dreaming track, is one of the paths across the land, or sometimes the sky, which mark the route followed by localized creator beings during the dreaming.
Okay.
So I think when you were going on dreaming and songlines, so I think it's all very synchronistic.
Mm-hmm.
Your future travels to Australia.
Yeah. Wow. I feel so.
Wow, Mary, that's amazing. So it sounds like you have a lot of learning and experience on your future path.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty incredible. So Mary, how can people get connected with you that are interested in what you do and want to hit you up.
How can people support you?
I have a phone. I have Instagram. I have Facebook. I've got Telegram. I've got Wicker. I've got Trello. I've got WhatsApp. Fucking.
Okay, cool. We'll put a link to your Instagram page. Right?
Yeah. And
specifically, you guys can come out to either Mary's Sound Bath.
Yeah,
or
come
Mary's
out to Catharsis on the Mall and hang out.
And actually experience the sounds that Mary's creating, right, and chat with her in person, because I know that's something that she really values. Do you have any other values that you hold really close to you?
For sure. Definitely. I have a lot of values. More and more, I'm finding community. And I was about to say communication in the same word. So community and communication, I'm finding extremely valuable.
Wow.
Just for my own heart. For my own heart. Communication, yeah.
Oh, I like that.
And also, like, you can throw the word education in there.
True.
It's like community, communication, education. It's like all up in there, and they provide all of that for the people involved. And yeah, it's been really good for my heart to.
Yeah, there will be a lot of that this
do
weekend.
This. Yes, yes, events like this.
Cool, and you can check out our website too for future events. Mary will be at some future events for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Metacreative.world, as always, M-E-T-T-A, creative.world. And thanks for joining us, Mary. It's been pretty epic talking about sonic yoga and diving deep into some sound stuff. You know, I'm a freak for the sound. So thanks again for joining us. And as always, this has been the Metamakers Podcast, collaborative arts, inspiring sustainability. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for having me, guys.